are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. This is Patricia Traina. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. And there you can also drop your questions for me for the weekly Twitter mailbag. Make sure you tag them Ask P-Train, P-T-R-A-I-N. On the line with me for today's show, I have Trevor Sikma, who is with the he's actually a Buccaneers beat writer with Pewter Report, but he does a lot of work with the Draft Network, so he's very much up on the draft. And to show you guys just how I listen to you when you make suggestions about the show, we're going to focus on the defensive side of the draft. We're going to take a look at who the prospects are, who helped themselves, who didn't help themselves, and maybe see who the Giants might be a good fit for the Giants. So, Trevor, thank you so much for coming on the program with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Patricia, it's good to be with you.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so, Trevor, let's start up. I don't know if you were at the Combine last week, but I know you followed it. You followed the measurables and everything like that. So let's start out with an overview from the defensive perspective. What classes do you think really solidified themselves in terms of depth? And were there any surprises, you know, after we got done with all the measurements and all the workouts and stuff like that, that you thought, wow, you know, maybe they're not as deep here, or maybe they're a little deeper than I thought?
Well, we've been working, so at the Draft Network, we've been paying attention to all the guys pretty much all year round, and so I wouldn't say that I was necessarily shocked one way or the other, but there were certainly like little points for each of the position groups that I noticed could sway a little bit. I mean, edge rusher, certainly at the top, it is still a very strong class. I mean, Nick Bosa was basically as advertised. Josh Allen maybe wasn't as much of a freak athletically as some people were saying he was, but he's such a really good prospect. He maybe didn't blow the doors off of the combine, but those go into kind of tempered expectations about what to expect at these events, because, you know, Josh Allen was a guy who was getting a lot of top five hype as an edge rusher. Maybe that was skewing some expectations of what his combine was going to be, but his combine was totally fine. I mean, the weight that he showed up at, the numbers that he had, I thought he was totally fine there. He still solidified himself as one of the more coveted prospects in the draft. Brian Burns, on the other hand, I thought totally did really well. Showed up at a great weight, ran some great times in the athletic drill. He, to me, solidified that he could be a top 10 pick in this draft. People were kind of questioning that a little bit. Ja'Kai Polite, oh, on the opposite end of the spectrum, had a fall from grace there where he was considered to be a top 20 prospect, a really coveted edge rusher with some really great tape. And, you know, kind of the way that he handled his podium interview and things that we're hearing about how he was with teams, the weight that he showed up at, how he didn't really perform well in the weight numbers or in the athletic numbers. He might be a guy who now drops some boards. But I think overall, I think the edge class is pretty alluring. I think that it's going to be one of the stronger suits, as is the interior defensive line. I think the D-line in general from the combine that kind of confirmed that this is a deep class in those areas. And if you need some defensive line help, there are a handful of prospects both inside and out that you could really get your hands on. Linebacker, we didn't think that linebacker was a very deep class going into this, and they kind of proved that at the combine. This isn't a very deep class, but boy, the guys at the top, Devin White and Devin Bush in particular, those guys are good. And if you need a linebacker in the top of the first round, you could pick either of those guys and be really happy with your selection. If you need one later in the draft, you're taking a little bit more of a risk, but that's okay. The corners and the safeties, really weird, because the guys that were kind of hyped as the players who are first round guys or guys that you would really boast in this class, say like a DeAndre Baker or a Julian Love from the corners, even maybe Byron Murphy a little bit, they didn't perform maybe as well as some people had hoped that they would. You know, Byron Murphy, for example, I thought he had an okay combine. Okay is too harsh, actually. I thought he had a good combine, but not this elite combine, like something like maybe Jair Alexander had last year, where people look at Byron Murphy and think, okay, this might be another Jair Alexander type. Jair had such a great such great athletic testing numbers that it solidified for you his first round pick status. Byron, not nearly as well, but I still think this guy's a really good corner. DeAndre Baker didn't have the athletic test you wanted. Julian Love didn't have the athletic test you wanted. Really, the only guy that did was Greedy Williams. And right when he ran that 4.38 40-yard dash, he shut it down for the rest of the day. He said, I'm done. I know that I'm going to get picked higher than the rest of these corners. No need to put any doubt in anybody's minds. And then for safeties, it was kind of all over the place because we didn't really know what to make of the safety class. Guys like Amani Hooker, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Juan Thornhill, they really helped themselves on the back end as potential safeties to select in the top 50 of this draft, while some other guys really did not perform the way that they needed to. So it was a little bit of up and down to answer. For a long-winded question there for me to answer, it was a little bit of an up and down throughout every position. But it wasn't too shocking, I think, overall from what we expected.
If you're planning a draft board, I know, you know, obviously you just mentioned some positions are deeper than others. I'm thinking in terms of the Giants' needs. You know, they need, obviously, pass rush help, you know, edge rushers. They're going to need, I think, an interior guy to push the pocket. They definitely need safety help. I think we can agree on that. They could probably use another corner. So in terms of stacking up the positions and the depth, what would be the absolute lowest you would go? What round would be the lowest you would go to pick up a player in those particular needs?
Okay, so I did a kind of like a sweet spot article for positions in this draft class of, hey, where's really the sweet spot to pick up on these guys? And so to answer that question, I'll kind of bring that into it a little bit. Even though I do think that edge rusher is deep, I would still say that if you need an edge rusher, you really want to pick one in the first round, because if you truly need edge rush help, it's such an important position to the game of football, really, for any roster. And the Giants are a team that, like you said, they're probably going to need some edge rush help. But if they really think that they need it a ton, that's one that you've got to address early. And I know they have a top 10 pick. They're picking at number 6 right now. But if edge rusher is something that they're looking for, they've got to seriously consider it there. They might be able to get a good edge rusher there in the second round, but you really run the risk when you give it a full 32 picks in between your next selection, because you know that so many teams in the NFL also like edge rushing help. So you probably are still going to have to prioritize that. And I would say linebacker in the first round, just because you have Devin White, you have Devin Bush at linebacker. Really, after that, you're running the risk on some guys. So, but linebacker is a position that you can kind of pick up every year in the draft. It's not a super prevalent position. It's kind of like running back, where there are guys that come out every year that you could really get as starters on your team or potential role players. So I don't think that's necessarily a need in terms of value. But for the Giants, then, corner and safety, those are two positions, especially since they have Sam Beal from last year that they picked up. And I was at Dave Gettleman's podium when he was talking about Sam Beal at the combine. And, you know, we talked about the fact that they would spend, I believe it was a second or third pick. I think he said a second round.
Yep.
Yeah, on Beal this year if he were in the draft, which tells you that they're very high on him. So corner, probably not a giant need in their mind. So then that corner secondary need, you could probably get in that second and third round. And so if the Giants are going defense, I would advise them, hey, you should probably focus edge rusher in the first round. And then in the second round, that's where you could probably get a DB, either a safety or a corner, much more likely a safety that you might be able to have a really good impact in his first year. And so that's probably how I would prioritize that. If you asked me, hey, pick somebody on the defensive side for the Giants to go with, I'd say edge rusher in the first round, safety in the second.
And Trevor, you know, we hear the term value used a lot when it comes to the draft. And I don't think a lot of people really understand what is meant by good value. They tend to look at need. It's like, oh my God, my team needs, you know, insert position here. And they don't look at value. For the folks listening, can you just explain a little bit about the concept of value and how GMs apply that in their draft strategies?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So there are, and I talk about this a lot, there are four core positions to the game of football: quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, and then potentially a lockdown man coverage, kind of like a press coverage corner. Those are the positions that are so difficult to acquire, and those are the ones that have such a high impact on games from a week-to-week basis and also towards winning a championship. Those are the most important positions because of how they're coveted, how rare it is to find impact guys at those levels, and how often or how scarce it is really that you can get those guys. Because think about it, you know, for example, look at the pass rush market. Every single free agency, you know, a month ago, you could look at the potential free agency and you could think, okay, hey, Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, Trey Flowers, all of these guys are potential unrestricted free agents. None of them are going to hit the open market. Why? Because teams can't get rid of good pass rushers. And so that's the same. And we're seeing the same thing with offensive tackles as well. Teams just do not get rid of players that are worthwhile at those positions. That's why you always have to be able to pick them in the draft. And because you only have one option to pick them, which is in the draft above free agency, that increases their value. That makes them more hard to find, and that gives them a bigger impact on the game of football. Now, on the flip side, positions like linebacker, positions like running back, occasionally wide receiver and tight end and safeties, those are positions that are not only able to be acquired in free agency on somewhat of a regular basis, but they're also constantly coming through the NFL draft to where, hey, if you're a team and you go, I need a running back, there's a chance that you could get a great starting running back day one, day two, or day three, or even Philip Lindsay, as we're seeing, after the draft. And that happens every year. And so that has to go into when people talk about value and picking positions that should be prioritized. That has to go into it too, because you can find running backs and linebackers and safeties every single year in the draft, but you may not have the same opportunity to pick top edge rushers or quarterbacks or pass protectors or even lockdown corners. And so that's where value comes into play. You have to think about, hey, how often do I really have my chance to get my hands on one of these guys at a position that has such a high impact on directly going towards wins and losses? Obviously, quarterback is the most important, but pass rushers and pass protectors we are seeing teams covet at a greater level than ever before. And so if you need one, you're always going to have to spend a premium pick to get a high-impact player at that level. But for guys like linebacker, running back, and safety, we see tons of starters come in the later rounds. Now, that's not to say, like for the Giants example, they get a guy like Saquon Barkley. I'm sure they're very happy with who Saquon Barkley is as a football player, because he is a great football player. But in terms of other needs that they might have had on their roster, that's where you get the argument of, hey, this pick might have been worth better if you would have selected a position that has more of a direct impact on wins and losses. And so that's kind of where it all comes into play with value and where teams differ and why the NFL draft can be so crazy and unpredictable every year, because teams value things very differently.
Interesting stuff. You're listening, excuse me, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk more about the defensive side of the draft, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Trevor Sikkema, who writes for the NFL Draft the Draft Network. And we are talking defense. We're focusing solely on the defensive side of the ball. And Trevor, I want to go over the Landon Collins decision with you yesterday, which I know kind of surprised a lot of people. The Giants on Tuesday decided they weren't going to apply the franchise tag on safety Landon Collins. Therefore, you know, it looks like he's not coming back. You know, there's a small chance he could, but I don't see it happening. Did that surprise you, or when you look at the draft and the Giants' needs, do you say, you know, that's not really a big shocker?
Well, I think it's surprise. Well, I'll say that on one side, it didn't surprise me, just because I did hear the rumors during the season that the Giants were looking to move on from Landon Collins, potentially in a trade with him being in the last year of his deal. And so I knew at that point that, okay, this isn't a guy that they're prioritizing above all else to keep on the roster if they're entertaining offers. And that news kind of leaked. And I know a couple of teams for sure who reached out about Landon Collins. So I knew that it wasn't just rumors that they were potentially shopping him. Obviously didn't get the deal done, or didn't feel like they got a worthwhile offer. But it does shock me in the sense that Landon Collins is a really good player at a young age. He is, though I just kind of talked about in the last segment how you can find good safety play in the later rounds when you have a guy that you really like. It's hard to let him go, especially when he's as young and as impactful as Collins was. And I was such a big fan of Collins coming out of Alabama years ago. And I think that he has been great in the role that he's had with the Giants. But obviously, every man has his price, and that goes both ways, not only on Landon Collins' side, but also Dave Gettleman's side as the GM, figuring out if this guy is worth the number that he is commanding. So there are things that go into it. Also, certainly culture fit, how a guy is fitting into a locker room, how happy he is with the team and with the situation. That could go into maybe giving a discount to a team or not demanding as high of money on market value. And so there are details to Landon Collins' situation, which – we might not know for a fact, but it is shocking that they're letting such a good young player go because, man, with them getting rid of JPP the year before, they're talking about moving on from Olivier Vernon, now losing Landon Collins. There's been talks of how much longer Janoris Jenkins is going to be with the team. Obviously getting rid of Damon Harrison last year as well, as he is now with the Lions. It's almost as if the Giants are in rebuild mode on their defense, and yet you hear Dave Gettleman at his podium at the Combine and Pat Shurmur as well talk about Eli Manning being able to win them games and them still having faith in Eli. And so it's almost, you know, surrounding Eli with the best talent they possibly can. So it's almost as if they're in win now mode on the offense, but rebuilding mode on the defense. And the Collins piece is just such another interesting piece to the puzzle for what the Giants might be doing in their offseason plan. And so sort of shocked that they're letting him go. It's not totally out of left field because of the potential trades that happened earlier in the season, but it is shocking to me, yes, because of how good Landon Collins is, but also because of what I seem to be gathering with the Giants on how they're kind of split between offense and defense with what they're looking to do.
Interesting point. Now, if you're the Giants, how do you replace Landon Collins? Is there a prospect in the draft, or do you say to yourself, you know what, if we beef up our linebackers and add, you know, like a Devin White, for example, you know, now we've got the same firepower that we would have with Collins, who was known as a box safety and a pretty good box safety.
Yeah, so I mean, that all goes into it as well. Probably the amount that Collins is looking for for a safety is it's probably closer to like what a free safety would be asking for, just because he's been a pro bowler and he is so well known. And so for that, they're probably thinking, okay, because you're just more of a box safety, we can probably move on from you a little bit easier. They're not going to be taking a safety with the number 6 overall pick. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So really, you're probably going to be looking into that second and third day 2 rounds for them to replace Landon Collins, because if you weren't going to pay Collins, there's no reason to pay any other safety that's going to be out there. So I don't think that's going to happen. But in the second and third rounds, you could be looking at guys like John Abraham from Mississippi State, potentially Nasir Adderley from Delaware, although that would be a bit of a stretch for him to last into the second round where the Giants pick a guy like Juan Thornhill maybe. But honestly, probably the first – you know, they'd love to get their hands on a guy like Chauncey Garner-Johnson. I just think that he's going to be gone by the time that they pick in the second round. And so honestly, the biggest – probably the closest target that they're going to be able to have that they can pick at the top of the second round is John Abraham from Mississippi State, because he is an aggressive and physical safety who loves to hit, loves to come down and play in the run support, isn't afraid to get physical, and that kind of replaces that Landon Collins mold. And so if you are trying to get a one-on-one replacement early on in the draft, pick a rookie to be a starter. You know, for example, if the Giants say, hey, our starting strong safety, if we get rid of Landon Collins, we don't bring him back, our starting safety is not on the roster right now, our starting strong safety, then you've got to go into the draft picking a guy that you know has an opportunity, or at least the talent, to start right away and kind of make an impact for you. And so that's where I think they would be targeting in a player that they would really like of that mold, if you're looking at one to replace him right away in the draft.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I kind of see where they might be going at safety. I think they're going to really pour their resources into a free safety. As you pointed out, a free safety generally can command a little bit more in terms of the open market. And I just couldn't see them, you know, overspending to keep, you know, both Collins and get a a significant upgrade at free safety. So definitely something to that. And everything is driven by money, it just seems,
in the
NFL. You know, you mentioned Olivier Vernon before, and I just want to, you know, swing back to the pass rusher. Now, here's the thing with Olivier Vernon, and tell me if you disagree, and then I'll ask you your opinion on how they saw this. But to me, okay, Vernon's had some injury issues. That much we can all agree on. Injuries are not really the fault of the player, but I get it. You know, look, if the guy's not available, you have to make some hard decisions, and apparently the Giants are going to make some hard decisions. But what I'm wondering is, when you watch Vernon on tape, was he actually a fit for what they were asking him to do? They did make the switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4. They had him as a stand-up outside linebacker. Do you think that was a better fit for him? Did that maybe take a little bit off his fastball? Or was he just, you know, overvalued by Jerry Reese a few years ago and just never was going to be that guy who, you know, can achieve double-digit sacks? I think he did it once in his career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, I think it was a little bit of an overvalue, but it's, you know, it's easy to say that in hindsight. You know, at the time when they signed him, he was one of the more coveted pass rushers that was on the market, and you're kind of betting on the guy's upside. Like you said, injuries are really tough because they're hard to predict, and when they happen, it's just a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of luck being on your side. That's kind of the case with him, but I thought the 3-4 would be a little bit better for him, but still, I just think overall, to your point there at the end, I just think he was overvalued a little bit. I think that he is solid. I think he's a good player, but he's not worth the money that he commanded at that point in time. And so, you know, I'm looking at his contract right now. He's owed a lot of money on the cap over these next 2 years, and they still have dead money in both years if they were to cut him. And so that's why I've got to think that he's just not quite worth the money that he was given at the time. And even though I think that he's been a good player, they've been unlucky with injuries, but he's never been worth that billing of the money that they commanded for him.
Yeah, I always thought that, you know, he needed a good second guy alongside of him. When he and JPP were on the field together, that's when I think they had their greatest success. But then JPP got hurt and Vernon's, you know, production dropped off. And then the following year it was reversed. And it just seemed like, you know, if you look at over the course of history, the Giants have always had a good pass rush when they have had at least two, if not three,
sure,
solid rotational guys. And I don't think the Giants have really had that. You know, they've had, you know, they had JPP, they had Vernon, you know, the 1 year in 2016, and we saw it, but they really haven't had that on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. No, you certainly, you need a pass rush arsenal. You know, it can't just be one guy. I think that, to your point and to your credit, that's totally correct. Whether it is two stars on each side of the line, or you're pairing a great interior guy with an edge player or something like that, these guys can't do it alone. You need not only a first wave of good pass rushers, but a second one. You need a good rotation in there. You need to be able to keep guys fresh. And I think that's where the Giants are seeing that they're failing around Vernon, is that he's just not quite, you know, he's not, I'm about to say out loud, he's not like Khalil Mack, but, you know, there's only one Khalil Mack. And so you've always got to be able to get other guys in there to help you out. Pass rushing is so much a collective now, and I think we're seeing that around the league, that you've got to be able to surround a guy with other players who can get it done, and Vernon's just not a guy who can do it by himself. And he's, unfortunately for the Giants, he's getting paid like somebody who can truly do it himself. And you know, that's not really his fault necessarily. He's just the guy who signed the deal when they put the deal in front of him. But I think the Giants are realizing that their money probably could have been allocated a little bit differently to help him out.
Absolutely. Now, with that said, you know, deep class in the pass rushers. Also, the thinking is here in New York that the Giants might dip into the free agent pool, although all the premium pass rushers obviously have been tagged. How do you see the Giants maybe, you know, replacing that? They already have Lorenzo Carter in place. You know, he's the guy they're looking for to bring some of that pass rush. But how else can the Giants, you know, upgrade that production?
Well, I think that if you can look at a guy in free agency and kind of get a steal off of it, you always give yourself that chance. If you find that there's a deal to be had that makes sense for you and the numbers are easy on your cap. I don't have a guy off the top of my head, but certainly, yeah, the guys at the top, the big name guys, aren't really going to be in the Giants' wheelhouse because they're figuring out what to do with their own money. That's kind of the way that maybe they could totally shock me and dip into that pool, but I feel like that's probably not the case. I don't think they're going to go edge rusher in the first round, which if they really want an impact player, like what we're saying, if Vernon's still on the team and you're still paying him that money, then you need to get him some help and some other pass rush around him. A guy like Brian Burns, I think, makes a lot of sense. Certainly Josh Allen, if he lasts until pick number 6, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But in the second round, you might be able to find a guy like a Jakai Polite in the second round if he's a guy that you want to take now a risk on. You kind of take under your wing, help him out, help him understand the NFL game a little bit better, get his body right, because he had some of the best pass rushing tape in the entire class, but now might end up going in the second round just because of how he handled his combine and his workouts, and there's going to be questions about now his focus and his effort and things like that. And so Jakai Polite's still a really great pass rusher if you can get a good supporting cast around him, a good support group and a team that believes in him. Then there's guys like Christian Miller, I think, and Chase Winovich, who you can get in those later rounds who might be able to make an impact in that second and third round range, who the Giants could potentially pick up and have in a decent either starting role or rotational role, which is, you know, even if they're picking up a guy who's just a rotational player for them amongst that pass rush arsenal, just getting those extra bodies in there, like you said, pairing with guys like Lorenzo Carter, potentially if Olivier Vernon is still there. If they get two or three more guys here, maybe one in free agency, like a lower price guy, and then maybe picking a guy like Christian Miller or Chase Winovich there in the second and third round, that could all make sense for me too, because then all of a sudden you're looking at it and you're going, okay, now you've got to guard multiple guys on each side of the line and you've got a decent rotation to keep guys fresh. That keeps the production up, that hopefully keeps the injury down, and that's a way that I think the Giants could fix their pass rush without maybe necessarily using their number 6 overall resource in a pass rusher if they don't want to.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. We're going to take our final break, come back, wrap up with a few more thoughts on the Giants defense and the draft, and just call it a show. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Trevor Sikkema of the DraftNetwork.com. Does a really good job. Make sure you check out his work over on that site. And Trevor, one last area I really want to talk about, and it's not getting a lot of mention, and I'm not sure why, but that's the play of the Giants inside linebackers. Last year they went with Alec Ogletree, they went with BJ Goodson. You know, the two of them I don't think were horrible, but you know, Ogletree is getting up there in age, you know, he's got a big cap hit. Goodson showed flashes, you know, he plays hard, and the thing I worry about with him is his durability. What did you see from them, and do you think the Giants can maybe, you know, grab somebody in this draft class to help those guys out?
Yeah, sure. I think those guys are fine, but I don't think they're above upgrade is the thing. Even when Alec Ogletree was over in Los Angeles, I thought he was a bit overrated. I thought people touted him to be a little bit better than what he was. I think the contract that he signed, you know, when he signed it, I was a little skeptical of it, that he would ever live up to that kind of a contract. And that's kind of, I kind of feel the same way now. And so I think that their linebackers are fine, but I don't think that they're above upgrade for sure. And, you know, it's, again, it's kind of tough for the Giants unless they were to trade back, because they have needs at offensive line and they have needs at edge rusher, and they even have a potential need at quarterback, getting their future quarterback in place, that it just would not make – I would not be able to justify the Giants picking a guy like, say, Devin White at number 6 overall, even though he is a really good player and even though I think that he would really help their linebacking core. They have so many different needs at positions of greater value that would be really tough for me to justify there. But kind of like in the later rounds, it gets tough because – there's just not a lot of great linebacker depth in this class. I mean, in the second and third rounds, I mean, maybe if you want to get a guy like Mack Wilson, who has the potential to develop as a guy who might be really great in coverage, really great linebacker. He's just really inexperienced is the thing with Mack Wilson. And so if he gets with the right linebacker coach, getting a Mack Wilson or something like that in the second round could really help the Giants in the long run if he develops the way that he did. But there's still somewhat of a development risk with how much of an impact player even a guy like Mack Wilson is going to be. You can get a guy like Vo'Shawn Joseph or a guy like Tavon Coney, something like that in the later rounds, but those guys are so boom and bust at what they do, it's not like they would really be upgrades over what Ogletree and Goodson are now for the Giants. It'd kind of be more of the same. Two guys that I really like are, I guess I'll just name one for sure, Drew Tranquil. He's a guy from Notre Dame who I like a lot, but he's just got a tough injury history. So if he ever goes down, you've got to have somebody behind him anyways. And so really, it's tough for the Giants and a potential linebacker need because I just don't see them addressing it maybe the way that they would need to in this class because of their other needs on the roster, because of the way this linebacker class stacks up. And that's kind of the way that I view things right now.
If you're James Betcher and you're going into Dave Gettleman before the draft, or actually before free agency, what do you tell him as far as priorities? In order to run my defense, this is what I absolutely, positively have got to have before this preseason or this offseason is over. What positions, what players, how do you approach it?
Well, I think if you're talking from the defense perspective, I think, you know, we touched on it a little bit earlier in this show. You've got to get another edge rusher because edge rusher is so key in the type of defense that they're running now in New York. And then I think a single high free safety, because without the ability to have a free safety that can play a single high cover three, cover one role that you can depend on in the center field, you are not going to be able to get as aggressive as you need to be, especially to run the pass or to rush the passer. And so for both of those, I think that those are two positions where you've got to go into Gettleman's office and you're saying, hey, look, if you are letting Landon Collins walk, okay. If you are going to move on from Olivier Vernon, okay. But you have got to get me help in those areas. You have to get me an edge rusher, and you have to get me somebody who can play a single high free safety role. Whether, you know, it doesn't look like either one's going to come through free agency, so something's going to happen in the draft for them to get one of those guys, a potential player for 2019 at either position. And like I said, you could probably get yourself a decent edge rusher in day two, maybe one or two even then. Safety, you could probably find a gem here and there because safety isn't prioritized too much. But I would say that I've got to get new blood at those two positions in order to make this defense work.
And then would you say that this team is in rebuild mode or make a run mode? I mean, there seems to be some conflicting thoughts or messages coming from the Giants. My stance is Gettleman's not going to get up there. Pat Shurmur's not going to get up there and say, hey, we're tearing this whole thing down. We're rebuilding, even though it looks like they are rebuilding some of it. But it just seems like, you know, half the team is in rebuild, half of it's in make a run now. And what do you see?
I think the Giants... we talked a little bit earlier about how I think it's a little bit conflicted right now on what exactly they're doing. But if you ultimately ask me, I think they've got to be in rebuild mode at some point because, you know, Eli is not going to play that much longer and he's the big centerpiece. So when anytime I look at a team that, you know, traded away one of their best pass rushers last year, is thinking about moving on from one of their best pass rushers this year, is going to move on from probably their top name defensive player in Landon Collins, those are all signs of rebuild. And then when you also throw in the fact that they have needs along the offensive line and they have a need at a future quarterback, that spells rebuilding. I don't really care how they try to spin it, whether they have faith in Eli or the O-line or whatever. They need to be in rebuild mode. And I think these next 2 years need to be years that they put the right young pieces in place to be able to start contending for division and potential Super Bowl championships in about 3 to 4 years, because that's just the way that this roster is shaping up. I think they have a decent starting point right now with guys, of course, like Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr., Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley. Those are guys that you really like on the offensive side of the football, but I think it's time to let that rebuild fully take into form, either get your quarterback this year or next year at the very least, and get some good young players at the correct positions that will help you make an impact on your football team. And so I would say that the Giants are more in a rebuild mode than they are a win now mode.
And then finally, Trevor, what would surprise you come draft weekend, a decision that the Giants might make or might not make? What would just absolutely, you know, make you go,
I'll tell you, if the Giants end up trading up for a quarterback, that would make me sit there and think, no way, that's odd. But it might be the right move for him. So I wouldn't really argue a move like that, but it would definitely shock me just because of everything that Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman said this past week at the Combine. If they traded up for a quarterback, which I'm in no argument that they should, they probably should be doing that. But if they did that, I would say, hey, good for them. They're going out, they're doing it, they're committing to this rebuild, and they're going to make sure that they're in the right place for a contending window here in 2 to 3 years.
All right, good stuff. Trevor, tell everybody where else they can find you on social media, other websites you might be on, et cetera.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. That's T-R-E at the end. Not just talking Tampa sports. I talk all kinds of sports, obviously covering the NFL draft full time now. Having a lot of fun over there. So that's probably the easiest way to reach me. And then, yeah, thedraftnetwork.com. Myself and our staff of writers, we're cranking out NFL draft content for not only the Giants, but every other team in the NFL. We're giving you the most comprehensive look at the draft you possibly can. And so we're really excited about that.
All right. Great stuff. I want to thank you for joining me. Giant fans, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week. Plenty more to come, including the start of free agency. So make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants. Have a good one.